Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Rabbi Dari. Grateful to be with you on this July 25th, 2023. Yes, the seventh month is about out of here. Another week and wake up, it'll be gone. But we're grateful to be here yet another day. And I'm grateful to be here with you, the listening audience of Talk Straight. I want to encourage you tonight to know that it's open mic again. We decided to keep we had a good conversation our last episode last week, and we want to extend that to you again. Whatever you bring up, we'll try to discuss it. If I don't know the answer, I will try to find some kind of way to get an answer for you, okay? And the number is 563-999-3617. Again, that number to call is 563-999-3617. Here, this is what I'm going to do. This has been my rolling theme song for the last couple of weeks or so. I to tell the truth on myself and shame the devil, when I get in the car, you'll find it on. Yeah. And this is by a fellow that some of y'all, if you're old enough, you'll recognize. They call him Johnny or JD. Had a powerful song about belief. I'm going to quiet and let y'all bring up the topic, but I'll just introduce it out there about believing in one another. Believing in one another. There's a couple of people that are around the country. My.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing, man. What? No, not your best friend.
Lolo, call him Lobo, Pastor Lomax, and my brother out of Peoria, Illinois, looks like it. 1328. That's call number, 1328. Well, I got a feeling that's about to blow up. How you doing there, gentlemen? Hold on 1 second. I got to bring y'all live. I'm sorry. I had to bring you live. Yeah. Okay. My bad. Okay, how you doing there, Brother Lolo?
Hey, man, you was breaking up so bad. I was kind of afraid I wasn't going to get you tonight, but I'm glad I got cleared up. I'm doing fine. Blessed to be with you again.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. I got my good friend out of Peoria, Illinois, I believe this is, and my little brother, my nephew out of Peoria, Illinois, and he going by the call numbers of 1328. What's up, man?
What's up? How y'all doing tonight?
Good to hear you. Man, I can't get no better. If I get any better, Lewis, I'm going to feel like I stole something, man. And that ain't right.
Hey, you ain't going to take nothing, man. You got it. You got it. I ain't mad at you, man. I'm glad you feel that way because you deserve it.
I don't know if y'all got to hear what Johnny Taylor was saying. I know you old enough to relate to Johnny Taylor, Lolo. What do you think about that?
I didn't get to hear the song.
You didn't hear the song at all, huh? Okay. All
no,
right.
You was
did
breaking
hear...
up. The podcast was really breaking up bad. I just now got on when you just called my name out.
Gotcha. All right. What about you, Brother Lewis? Did you hear any of it?
No, I didn't. It was the same for me. I thought it was a technical error on my end. I was waving my phone around. And... But,
I'm
in the same position as Mr. Lowe.
We can fix that. We can fix that. What we'll do is later on, we'll bring it back. But it's open mic. And I want to really leave the floor to the listening audience to lead our conversation tonight. Is there anything on your brother's mind, recent events? There are a couple of things that are near and dear to me that I certainly have, and I want to encourage you. Hey, how y'all doing? Facebook, y'all come on, give us a call here, 563-999-3617. I want to hear from you. It's been Mike. You know, you don't have to give your name. We'll just use your phone number to identify you, and we'll be happy to bring you to the conversation. Thank you guys for joining us there. All right. So anything you don't have that on your heart?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd love to take it because I always have an issue. My issue has certainly always been the same. It's police brutality, of course, you know what I mean? So that's my plight in life right now is the see that in itself, man, and try to restore justice for people when it comes to law enforcement. I don't believe in law enforcement myself, but I believe that it can be changed. And I think that outside of the slave patrol ideology, if they could get out of that narrative and actually police in the sense that cops are good and people are people and with respect and dignity, I think we can get past that. So I'm always have a plight with that being that my brother was a victim of police brutality, which led to his death. So I must remind your public of that. And we actually did a law to change that in Minneapolis where he was killed. And for some reason, the police didn't think it was necessary or important enough to follow up on that. On the training that they were to receive based on the settlement. And because of that, George Floyd was murdered. This is a fact. It's out there in the world. Anybody could look it up. I'm not going to divulge my name because of where we are. But this is just to say this. I will always have an issue with that until it's fair for everybody. It's fair for nobody, you know. Nobody deserves to die at the hand of somebody who should protect them. Should protect them, I should say. I mean, you're breaking up again. Hello?
I can't hear him either, man. He's breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now it's coming clear, but then...
I can't hear one word he's saying, but I can hear everything you're saying.
Can you all hear it all now?
No, you're breaking up to me. I can hear Lolo. I can't hear you, Mr. Lowe. I can hear Mr. Lowe.
You're breaking up? Okay. But you can hear. Okay, okay. Huh. Let me do this. Let me try this for a second. Yeah. Let's see. We're going to do something a little bit different here. Yeah. And we can't fix it. This thing wrong quite. Let me see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're still kind of breaking up a little bit, though.
Better yet.
Okay, are you on now?
Hey, yeah, but you got an echo. Yeah, but your reverb is up.
Okay, all right. How about now?
Yeah, you sound a lot better.
That's a lot better?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay, so you can hear me better now. Is that right?
Yes.
All
that's right.
Good deal. Now we're ready. Let me bring Lo, can you hear me? You can hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, good. You guys are sounding delicious, too. All right, so I think there's something in the studio that we got to get fixed. I have to send a message to the podcast platform to try to figure that out or see if it's my retardation that's going on here. All right,
man,
so I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good, man. I don't worry about it. I don't sweat that type of stuff, man. Huh?
Right. You sound good now.
I read a long time ago that in the world you're going to have trouble, but I should be cool because Jesus overcome the world. That's my good news right there. That's my secret weapon right there. My secret weapon.
Okay. Jesus came with a force beyond. Jesus wasn't alone either.
I'm just telling my testimony right now. That's my secret weapon, so I don't sweat none of that. But listen, you were talking before we stopped about a near and dear issue to your heart, and that is police brutality. That's what I heard you say. And did you get to hear any of that, Lo? What he was sharing with us?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to it. And let me go back to the listener, and just in case someone didn't hear me, 563-999-3617. Give us a call right now. 563-999-3617. I see some good friends on Facebook. We appreciate y'all. Y'all go ahead and give me a holler right now, and we'll get you right on in there. Okay. Go ahead there, Pastor Lil Max. I'm sorry.
You know, we listening to my brother, feeling the passion in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have experienced near death or close calls behind police brutality, and I think that bringing it to the forefront and being vigilant and keeping the eye on how the state and county are changing, are they paying attention to police policies, what the police are allowed to do. You know, they had this big thing about video cams and stuff like that. Now they're finding a way to just heard on that today. But they're being exposed little by little because we're getting tired of it. People like my friend here it does damage not just to that person, but to the family that person comes from, to the community that person lived in. There's a lot of damage that's done. There's a lot of fear that's instilled in these type of incidents in the community, and no one can trust the those who are supposed to protect you. Just like we're suspect to them, they're suspect to us. And so we have to be careful. We have to be vigilant. I think the most precious thing that God gave us was a video cam phone, you know, where we could just take pictures of it. and a lot of them have been caught that way. And matter of fact, that's the only way they get caught. is through video. So there's a lot of work to be done, but there's a lot of people that are paying more attention now.
Okay. Well, now, gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Pastor Waller would say, a flip side to this issue. So just this past weekend, I went to the vigil of a young lady who was killed, and she was a daughter of one of my parishioners. Killed by, I understand, the father of her child, the only child she had, her boyfriend. There was a couple other people that were murdered as well and carjacked. Is there a place for law enforcement, and what would society be without it? Now, what I heard Lewis speak to is that they have a job, a duty, and a contract to the public, to the people. They're financed by the people through taxes. And if they fail on that, certainly that should be addressed. But my question is, and what will society be like if we lack
Absolutely.
Any law enforcement?
Can I answer
okay.
this?
Yes, sir.
Because I believe that they very much still have a place in society, and that's what I was trying to make the point of right before I said the point about the slave patrol. You can't go into this with a slave patrol. My state, everybody's people, you got to want for other people what you want for yourself. So, of course, you want some help. When you pay people to help you, that's what we pay you for. That is your career. This is not based on your father's merit or the way that your grandma taught you. You got a professional job. You trained to do certain things, or should be, whether your city implies that or not. In certain cities, they don't imply the training and don't train these cops. So they leave the cops out there unprepared, unaware how to deal with these people of different problems. People, so you're putting police in a position to become counselors or doctors or drug counselors when you train them for combat to be soldiers at a war. And a war is primarily aimed at black people. And not just black people. If you're a white man in a black neighborhood, you're a target now because now you're the minority. What are you doing here? Now we'd take you in like you are too because you're the throwaway, the so-and-so white trash. And that's not fair to anybody. It doesn't make anything better. So, yes, police have a place. But where is your place? And to know your place is two different things, you know. To cross that line, to become a criminal, is different.
A good example of what you're talking about is the atrocious actions down in Memphis, Tennessee, a month or so ago, where it was five or six officers, certainly overkill in terms of the actions, and it resulted in the death of a young man in Memphis, Tennessee there. So, okay, that's a great point. You asked the question, where is your place? What about that, Rolo? How you fall on that? Is there a place, and what would happen if we had no law enforcement in society?
Well, we need law. Communities want laws. Communities want to live safe. People want to live safe. I want to live safe. The problem is that who's policing the police? Who's holding them to account? You know, you have city council, you have state senate, state representatives. Who's holding the police chief accountable? Is there a community group that's been set up to monitor police incidents? Because that's one way of creating a deterrent. When somebody knows they're being watched, when you go to job and your supervisor is out there, even if he's working, you're aware that he's around, and so you act accordingly to the you stay within the the confines of the policies of where you work. You don't sit around and kick your feet up and lay back and the supervisor's right down there looking at you. You don't do that. It's the same way with these professionals. They need someone to watch to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Accountability and equality.
Yeah.
Accountability, transparency, and equality is what we ask for. Treat us like human, man. We're not asking for you.
Right.
We understand you have authority. We respect your authority. But because I'm a black man, you got the right to harass me. Or because he a white man, you got the right to harass him. Your totalitarian attitude towards the people that you work for is what's breaking the trust within that. And then you crossing the line to murder people with impunity, and the law is standing behind that. That is unacceptable on any level.
Okay. Find me, if we have an incident where we have a homicide, we have a robbery, we have a rape, in your view, what should the police do? How should they, in your view, how should they?
So you got to understand.
How long?
They should act within protocol. What were they trained to do?
Luke, hold one second. Let me frame the question.
I'm passing.
You good? You good? Let me frame the question. How long should they take to come, right? And when they come, how concerned should they be about what has transpired? We got a robbery assault. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, what's the threat level?
Okay, let me check it out because this is what we should. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to interject with a question after I answer.
Come on, baby.
Immediately. They should come to the threat immediately. One thing that cops don't do, they say they investigate. They do a lot of investigation but never seem to prevent crime. They're not Batman. Batman at least is trying to prevent crime. They never seem to be there before the people get shot. They always make it there after. That's one thing. Okay, so you come immediately. But imagine this. What if they don't come? And more times than not, if they come, after 10 minutes. They got a protocol to where the police are dispatched 10 minutes after they get the shot spotter alert so that they're out of danger. So it's a self-preservation mechanism. It's not a hero. They come to get the person that's dying. More times than not, most people arrive at the hospital by private vehicle because one of their own. Do you know when the police murdered my brother? They called their wife while my brother was on the ground. They didn't try to resuscitate my brother. He laid there for 4 minutes waiting on the ambulance to come before his heart would beat again to pump blood to his brain, and that's what he died from, the lack of circulation, the lack of oxygen to his brain. So what happens when the police don't come?
Got you. I get that. But let's answer this question. We have a situation there's been a robbery and assault. Did the police come? You asked if they should come in a timely fashion, right? How should they? What should they do when they get there? Should they
follow protocol? What were you trained to do? What were the training you had to have some kind of protocol? What city are we talking about? What town? Are we talking about a small town with three cops? But they should even have a training in the protocol set in place.
Any city where there are law enforcement, there are over 330,000 counties in the United States, across the United States, in the 50 states, And one of them has their own law enforcement. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 3,000, sometimes it's 2,000, depending on the size of the city, the citizen tree. But anywhere that they are, what should their response be when they get there? Go.
To protect and serve.
Okay.
That's their job. Right. That's what they signed up for. Once they became cops and got deputized, their job is to serve the people, to be at the service of the people, to put their life on the line, same as a man that go into an army or navy or any level of service. You have an obligation, a duty to protect the people more than yourself. You protect the people.
Gotcha.
So if
you're
not protecting the people and you're the person that's murdering the people, you should be held more accountable than the people are held for killing the people because you were trained and should have been through service training to show you how to de-escalate situations instead of perpetuate them.
All right, hold on. I know you're passionate about it. I don't want to cut you off too much, but I do want to have a substantive conversation. Look out. Feel free to jump in.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to overrun you with it. But, you
know. Just let me pull your coattail a little bit. That's all. When I pull your coattail, it's, he grabbed me. All right.
No, I don't get upset. That don't upset me, man. I'm used to this.
It's all good. Feel free to jump in here, Brother Lomax. Now, listen, Lou, we have a constitutional republic in the U.S., and the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says that no law enforcement can arrest you, deprive you of your rights of freedom and property without first having what they call established. You have to give them due process, but you got to establish
probable cause. You have to establish
probable cause.
Yeah.
For stopping them.
Do you think that's vague or not? For a black man, anything is probable cause. You being black is considered probable cause. That's true.
Here's what I know. In the United States of America, that is federal law. That's federal law, protected by the Constitution. It's not supposed to. It is the case. And if you find that someone representing law enforcement does not respect that Fourth Amendment right, your 14th Amendment right, they're in violation of a number of laws. I can think of a couple. I'm not an attorney. But the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal treatment of everybody, regardless of your color, how fat you are, how tall you are. Just because I'm good looking don't mean you should be mad at me. You know what I'm saying? I can't help being good looking, Lou. That's my
fault. And another thing, profiling is not probable cause.
It's not.
Exactly.
So when you do something out of profiling, then you can't. There's no justification. So you have
anything
to
else.
Justification.
Everything else is illegal from that
scene.
Point.
Yeah.
From that point,
because
once you say,
I don't like his hair.
I'm gonna pull him over. Everything else should be illegal.
All right, Lewis. Let him. I'll let you guys dialogue. Let him finish his thought, and then you guys can dialogue on it. I'm standing back.
No problem. I'm sorry, Pastor Lomax.
You're good. But what I was saying was that there's a difference. The law is the law whether people want to follow it or not. Because a person profiles you because you're black, that's not a legal thing to do. But if you let them get away with it, they will.
They
work on your fear that you're too afraid to say anything, or that you're by yourself. So it's you against the whole police department. I've been there. I already know what's going on with that mess. Can I say this to you guys?
Yes. This is the problem, the honest to God truth, and I'm going to be as real with you as I can be about this, being a victim of the police brutality myself, because when they murdered my brother, they didn't just kill him, they kind of murdered my family in a sense, our sense of being a complete family, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
this is the thing about that. Had it not been so drastic or publicized at that point, because it was new then. It was a new situation for them to even be in, for us to have went about it how we went about it, gave us a little more leverage than average people get. I think about it all the time. Had not my family been in the position that we was in, this might not even be it'd be a thing and a subject in my life if that happened anywhere else for my brother. But how many families don't get that platform to tell these stories, don't have a platform like even this one to even reminisce on the story? I got lawyers. I still have lawyers that still fight because my case is still relevant. But if I didn't have those people, I mean, it'd be so, it's so many instances where you never hear about these people and their families out there begging for help and nobody's answering their calls. So this for them. And this, my brother's gone. So my plight is to save lives and help the people who already lost people to heal.
Okay. Well, that's a noble cause. That's a very noble cause. Okay. All right. Well, you going to say something else there, Lo?
No, no, but I was just, I just say that it's funny how we get worked up about the police and how they do us and how they take advantage of the powers they've been given, the responsibility they've been given. But we got even a deeper problem to me within our own communities with one another.
Talk to me, big brother. Come on, I think I see where you're going.
And that's something that is just as deadly to me as police brutality.
Yes, sir.
I totally agree.
And that's what we're doing to one another. See, like you lost your brother by the police. I lost my son by black men who had nothing more to do than walk up to him and shoot him. That's all they did. Broad daylight. And they haven't been caught yet. So I could be feeling the same way you feel toward the police, toward my these brothers who killed my son.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Because
that's
murder
totally
is murder.
I do.
Doesn't matter if you got
way,
a bag behind you.
I feel more about them than the police. I feel like they're more obligated to us than the police are.
Yeah.
And I think that's horrible.
But what I'm saying is that murder is murder. It doesn't matter if it's got a bag behind it or not.
Yeah. No matter who the killer is, you're a murderer.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in society.
Why? Because guns, how many? We're the only country to have this problem. And it's guns.
And you know what? And can I say this? That's not the only brother I lost to violence. I mean, I use that as my biggest platform because that's an issue that seems to be plaguing America, too, is police brutality and the fact that they sworn in is the only reason why I really go there. But I had a younger brother, my youngest brother, my baby brother, was killed by a mixed man and a white man also. I mean, mixing black and the same thing, so color and all that. It doesn't matter. I mean, people kill people.
Right.
So, and I just want to make this clear. I don't justify it in any way. I think it's all wrong. And I think nobody, if you don't give life, you don't make life, you shouldn't take life.
Right, right.
Yep.
We got a problem.
It is open mic night. And I've been pulling at my bit, trying to hold back. But you guys are saying some good things. You guys are saying some great things. And Lewis, I just want to interject this. What you all were saying, particularly Pastor Lomax, the uniform crime reports come out, I think, every other year. And historically, it has been consistent that 50%, and I think it's about 1,000 homicides reported on an annual basis every year from the Uniform Crime Report. And about 50% of all of those homicides involve black-on-black crime. In other words, black people killing black people in black neighborhoods where they live. Now, that's not to say that other people do it. But what that says is that with 50% of all the homicides, 95% of them involving black-on-black crime, that's significant.
Yeah. Why is that, though, man? Like,
Go ahead.
I don't know. My question would be why. I mean, if you look at why, you know why.
Because of the easy access to firearms.
When you stick the fathers out the home, you gentrify the neighborhoods, you put these people out here, you got these kids think that all they got to do is listen to their favorite rapper and they're talented. They can go out here, pull these guns out and get famous for doing it if they record themselves. It was toxic from the start. I mean, society itself wrote this book. And they can't write themselves out because it's hard to control these people that's not conscious. I mean, you got to think in the world of AI, these people are being possessed by robots. AI is dictating how they think and they feel. They stare at their phone all day, they get possessed by it. It's not hard to understand what's going on. I mean, we all see it. Everybody wake up and see what's going on. People more concerned with what's going on in the world than what's going on in reality. and you order your groceries offline, you do everything, your shopping online, you get everything tailor-made, fit to you, you need the money. Everybody want to be bougie, nobody want to put the work in. And it's a selfish world. It's to the point where robots move the world and all we do is live in it. We spend most of our time inside. We don't even interact with the world. But we worried about what God doing to the world.
Interesting. So
there's a saying that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go to church.
So, gentlemen, what is the answer? Because I've been saying for the longest that we have to start at home with our young men and women. With our young men. You listen to me?
Yes, sir.
You said you don't know if there is an answer. Is that what you said?
No, I said I pray to God there is one. I know there is an answer, and God is the only answer, of course. But, I mean,
Let me say something to you. God sent me to give you the answer.
Huh? Right.
Yeah,
I like
God
that.
Sent me to give you. And the truth of the matter is, when you look in the mirror, the only person you have to fear is the image in the mirror. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because that image can make you or break you, depending on what it does or not do. Are y'all walking with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me, Lord?
Oh, yeah.
See, the truth of the matter is, when we go outside into the social sphere, it's like a big playground. And if there's nobody there to supervise you or police the playground, anybody do what they want to do. And you got people who are out of control, who have little respect for anyone else's space or their rights, and they're going to take advantage of it until you stop them. Then you got conflict then, don't you? You got war, don't you? Not that you came out there looking for drama, but I'm sad to say it, a lot of people bring drama to situations. Sometimes they don't mean no harm. They got stuff going on with them. But who don't have something going on with them? I know I woke up this morning, man. I looked in the mirror low and I started screaming.
You know, I think about when I was a kid, how I had to be in the house by 10 o'clock.
Right.
Lights when the street lights went out, you was in the yard.
Right.
There were things that you didn't sit around where grown folks were talking. And so you were sheltered on purpose.
Okay.
Because of the way times were, because of the way situations were, they had to watch over us. They had to be careful with us because if we got out of line, we'd end up an Emmett Till. Nowadays, people are exposed. Our children are exposed to everything. We can't shelter them if we want to. And so they see the world, and it is a confusing place. They don't know God from Michael Jackson. and people now don't know God from Donald Trump.
What are these? Who is that?
I mean, look at the image they was taught to love Jesus with.
They wasn't taught, period, is what I'm saying. They're not being taught
anymore. They
recognize
that picture. They recognize that picture, the same picture. We recognize the same picture they hung up in the 50s and told you that was Jesus. It's still Jesus. And your kids know
what
that
image.
Picture
is. It is an image that they get.
They get 1,000 images a second, nanosecond. They got access right now. If they pick their phone up, they can access anything in the world. They can credit
nothing's
your
real.
Debunk you within seconds. Something's real.
Nothing's real.
The reality is
nothing's
that the
real.
truth blends with fiction, but it's not the same as fiction because there's only one truth and there's only one lie.
So everything is suspect.
Lie or the truth.
People don't know what the truth is because they refuse to accept the simplicity of God's truth. It's too simple for them, but too easy.
Right.
It's too easy. And so they search and they search and they search.
Right.
For something that's right there in front of them.
I think people try to figure God out, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Don't try to figure God out.
As if you know the mind of God. And we know that you don't.
Right. Nobody does. And can never. But why try to figure God out? instead of figuring out who we are as a unit and our differences.
But it's ignorance of his word. It's the ignorance of his word, the ignorance of truth that confuses people. People are confused because they don't know the truth. They don't know righteousness. They don't know godliness. They don't know spirituality. All they know is worldly lights and glimmer and bling bling. That's all they know because that's all they see.
That's all they want to know. That's all
they
want to see.
I call them the walking dead.
You
I call them the walking dead.
You got a choice to seek out God. God gave you a choice to seek him out, to know him for who he was. He told you, I'll tell you everything. I'll show you. I believe that because you showed me he did
and
me right.
You don't
I never
know
got done wrong by God.
Listen to him, Lord. Listen
if you
him,
don't know
say.
God in the pardon of your sins, you're the walking dead.
Okay. Now what happens?
And that's just too
outside?
Simple for people.
Okay.
Right.
Pastor,
I agree.
What happens? How do I handle when I come outside and I'm walking into the walking dead? Do I go and kill them? I can't kill them because they're already dead, right?
No. No. Jesus gave you a new command. Jesus gave you a new command to love him like he loved you.
You can wake up sleeping dead.
John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love you one another as I have loved you. That way they'll know that you're my disciples.
We was all asleep. We was all asleep.
My obligation. I'm just as obligated to love you as that police officer ought to be obligated to protect you.
Man, God said he's going to meet you where you at. He ain't going to meet you where you want him to be. He's going to meet you where you at. He's going to come to where you at. I know that. That's where he met me at. He met me where he left me. I know God. Right. It's hard for somebody to accept that, but it ain't hard for me to accept it because I know him. And that's a relationship nobody could give or take from me. My parents couldn't establish that. A man can never take that from me. And it's such a powerful thing. It's beautiful to me. The most beautiful thing, the most encouraging thing. And like he said, the most simple thing is to accept the love that God got for you. I understand Jesus is God's son too, but God got love for you. That's tremendous.
Hey Lord, I need to register the show a little bit. Let me put the number back out there. We got about 15 more minutes. These brothers hit hard.
Right, I'm sorry.
Hard. I'm ducking because they swinging hard tonight, boy. Listen, 563-999-3617. Come on, Facebook. Come on, get on in there. 15 more minutes. About 15 more minutes. 563-999-3617. Watch this. They swinging so hard. I'm going to bring Johnny Taylor back and see if y'all can hear him this time. Un momento.
What'd you say, JP?
I feel sorry.
Me too. I feel sorry sometimes.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry. I feel sorry when he came looking around and say, just to look my woman, just to look my woman alone. I feel sorry. Any woman out there who can't say I got somebody that can call my baby. I feel sorry. One thing I can say about the people of the world.
What they do, man. What they do, man. Wait a minute, JT. I got 15 more minutes, JT. Come on, y'all. Listen. These brothers are swinging hard tonight. 5-6-9-9-9-3-6-1-7. That's the number to call. Now, I know y'all heard JT this time. He said it's a bad time when you ain't got nobody.
Man, gotta believe.
Listen, let me say this, and I'm gonna turn the flow back over to y'all. I think one of the major ingredients behind the self-destruction we do on one another is because we don't believe in ourselves. So it's hard for us to believe in the man we see out on the playground. Talk to me, somebody. Say what?
Man, hey, I think you hit it with that. But then we'd rather say sorry than actually show appreciation and acknowledgement for our wrong ways and the correction. We'd say, I'm sorry, and that should somehow clear up the damage you've done to people that you love or should love. You know, sorry don't equal up to
what you lost.
What we should be, you know, what you lost.
Yeah,
it's hard for somebody to accept, I'm sorry. If you just gun somebody down, apologies and sorry don't necessarily clean that up, you know? Like, you got to really put
right.
that work in for somebody to believe that you changed. People don't want to hear that you're sorry. People want to see that you were sorry, that you gave back and that you changed your life, or if you even get to live that long, because some people take vengeance into their own hands. And it's unfortunate, man, because we live in a world that taught us that violence gets things done. The whole war, those are precursors to what we're going through now.
Okay. What about that, Lord? It's biblical. Okay.
I can't look at the world in a carnal way, because then I try to make sense of it. And then when I try to make sense of the world, then I try to make sense of why God is allowing things and why God is not interfering and stopping bad things from happening to good people. See, that's carnal thinking. And God is illogical. You can't confine him to a deposition. You can't confine him to a thought.
Okay.
We have to accept reality of today, because none of us have a tomorrow.
Okay.
Not one of us has a tomorrow.
Wow. That's interesting.
You only live it today, man. Your yesterday gone, and your tomorrow might not never come.
You don't have a tomorrow. You don't have a tomorrow. You only have today.
Every day is today. I totally agree with that.
I say you don't have a tomorrow, because every day is today. Like you said, you don't have a tomorrow.
Well, let me throw this at Facebook question. Is Jesus supposed to stop us from hurting one another?
No. Jesus is a cautionary tale. But I think
that?
It was more
to explain that, man. Cautionary tale. What you mean by that?
I mean, they showed you what your faith gives you, and this wasn't America. This was in Hebrew time. But at the same time, with the whitewash and the soap that's on Jesus, I can't even tell you the truth about it all. But I know that it's missing pages in that book, and I would love to find out what the missing pages contain before I really gave you what I thought about it all.
Right.
But I know. I know Jesus was a cautionary tale that God is not done with the world, and that he don't need anybody to speak for what he's going to do.
I think he told everybody
what he said. But I think it's more than that.
Look, Lou, let me say this. It's everything I know and understand and have studied is that Jesus is the primary example for me as to what I should do if I want to be like him. That's what he came for, to help my fathead self to be redeemed from Adam's sin and make it back into glory. See, Adam got kicked out.
The cautionary tale to warn you on how to be. A cautionary tale is to warn you about something. I'm trying to warn you this is what you should be. So a cautionary tale It's like you could call out you want to. I ain't here to change your religion, and I don't have any, so it's gonna be hard to change mine. I believe in God and God alone, man. Everything else that fell under the sun, I know it happened. It's a historic fact that it happened, but I don't believe in it. I only believe in God. That's it.
Okay.
Hold on
1 second. Keep that. I got a preacher on the line. He can tell me. I believe this preacher can answer. They've been preaching for a long time. I ain't heard a preacher. He's grown too now. Hey, look, he can go up there.
A lot of preachers preach for us in here, too. And they on TV every day preaching to millions of people.
I can
preach in a prosperous world. If you send me a little seed, you get money.
Luke, I'm coming back to you, but let me get a friend.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Is Jesus supposed to stop us from hurting one another?
No. Matter of fact, he said we were sheep for slaughter.
Right.
Okay.
You know, we have to carry our crosses, and each of us have a different cross, and some of the things that we have to experience through our life make that cross so much heavier. But Jesus showed us that we can bear it. And he can lift that weight. He's able to do that. He's able to bring the calm when it ought to be a storm. He's able to bring that joy when it ought to be tears. See, that's something that can't nobody do, that he and he alone can do to those who have faith in him. Our decision are we going to be committed to that no matter what? Are we going to let the trials and tribulations that Christ told us we would go through? He told us in advance, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. But if you don't know the truth, you can't operate off of the truth. So you end up operating off of hearsay, what came down the road yesterday, what so-and-so thinks, because they got suits and ties and big houses and money in the bank. And we listen to that instead of listening to the spiritual things of God.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm learning. Y'all learning me something tonight. All right. I got about 5 minutes. It's all together.
I couldn't say that any better myself. Thank you for that, Pastor. That was beautiful.
Bless you.
I can't say nothing.
No, because you know, my son is part of my cross bearing. To have to bury my son, that's part of my cross bearing. To have to bury your brother, that's part of your cross bearing. You know,
right.
And sometimes these crosses get heavy, man. Sometimes they get real heavy, and there's no one to lift the weight off of it but Jesus. And it's hard to put our faith in him because we want to be mad.
Right.
We want to lash out. We want vengeance. But thanks be to God for his grace and mercy toward me, that if I want that for me, then I should want that for everyone else, because
my
I can have a past.
My Lord.
And that's it, man. That's the whole story that we've been having today, man. Treat me like you want to be treated. You know, and that's everybody. We human, man. Treat us like human. I mean, red, black, or green, people want to be treated right all the time, man. Just if you do right by people, the world will be a better place. One man at a time, one woman at a time. Black, red, or green. It don't matter what color you are. If you move righteously one person at a time, we should be a better group of a community of people all over the world. If we do bigger
pockets. But just stop and think. Just stop and think, my friend. If any of us was righteous, we wouldn't need Jesus.
That's true. None of us is. So we all going to fall short in our God, and we know that, man. So, but we strive, and that's what we strive for. You do got a thing called free will, so if you wicked at heart, you're going to be wicked in flesh. And hopefully you're not, you know. And what's in the dark will come to the light. So.
Luke, don't give us a final thought. And I'm gonna pass the banner on to Pastor Lowe for me tonight to wrap us up and bring close to our conversation. It's been open mic, but these have
it's been a great night, man. Thank you for having an open mic dialect, and I'm glad and grateful for everybody, whoever listens from wherever they at. I pray for them, and God bless every one of y'all. hope what I said don't offend anybody. I just hope everybody be enlightened by what I said. And God bless y'all. Have a good night.
We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate you. We appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Pastor Lomax, give us a final thought as we wrap up and we cut out for the night. Thank you, brother.
I thank the brother for bringing up. Conversations that can give closure or give understanding or verification. These are necessary. Whatever our passion is, if we can discuss it and find somewhere through that discussion to help one another, then this is what God has called us to do. Put our heads together. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But we know God.
Right.
How is our experience with God? How can my experience with God help your experience out? And so that's why he told us to watch and pray. So when I see my brother's injury, I can pray for that. You know, and know that God will comfort you in, because he's chief comforter. See, he knows how to quiet your, calm your spirit.
Right.
Better than anybody, because he knows you. He made you.
Okay.
You're his. But sometimes we have to moan in our lives.
Okay.
And trust him to see us through.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, add to what you're saying, I appreciate you all's hearing those very personal experiences, man, that pain. And more importantly, I appreciate how you all are today dealing with it. Both of you seem to be on a mission, man, to show folk how to be loving and forgiving and to stop it from happening again, you know, and moving forward as opposed to just being angry. That's significant. And
right.
I appreciate that. That's what I took away from this open mic discussion tonight. But yeah, Pastor, you've been great, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I love peanut butter and jelly on wheat bread now. Don't bring me no bleach bread. Give me some wheat bread, him. Yes, sir.
Always good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. We're going in with order my steps in your word, dear Lord. This has been Talk Straight, Pastor David Lomax, Mount Sinai Covenant Presbyterian Church, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, and my good brother out of Peoria, Illinois, Brother Brown, Lewis Brown. We thank you, and we'll be back next week. We'll be next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight.
Praise the Lord. God, good things. All the time, and all the time, God is good.